Welcome to episode 74 of Talking Dairy. I'm your host, Jack McGowan. In today's podcast, we are diving into the latest economic insights and the recently released update on DairyNZ's Econ Tracker tool. Our latest update explores farm and sector economic data, including historical trends and new season forecasts. These insights are designed to support farmers with informed decision-making when it comes to financial planning, forecasting and budgeting. We'll be talking with DairyNZ's Head of Economics, Mark Story, and South Waikato farm owner, Louise Collingwood. Mark will share key insights about the sector's current economic position, what factors have shaped this landscape, and what to be mindful of for the season ahead. We'll discuss the role of the Econ Tracker and how farmers can use it to inform their decisions. And Louise will share her experience navigating the current economic conditions as a farm owner and her tips for planning ahead. Kia ora, Louise and Mark. Welcome to the podcast. Mark, are you able to share a bit about yourself and what got you interested in economics and led to your role here at DairyNZ?
Good morning, all. I started off with economics at university. I did my undergrad degree in economics and political science, and I've always liked dealing with large-scale problems, and economics is a pretty good tool set to approach some of those issues. I sort of got into natural resource economics and environmental economics. It was sort of my specialization. I come from a farming background, and my first job was at MPI. And then I sort of started off in trade policy, and that took me into quite a lot of global stuff. So I spent quite a lot of time overseas. I've worked with agriculture sort of off and on over my career, but I've worked with other sectors like energy and finance and transport. And the opportunity came up for me a few years ago to apply for this role as head of economics at DairyNZ. And it was the right timing for me and the right role, and sort of coming full circle back to my roots. So I really kind of jumped at the opportunity, and here I am.
Thank you very much. So what's your farming background?
My family farm in the North Waikato, a dairy farm. My extended family are still all very much, the majority of them, in the dairy business as well. So it's kind of cool to have semi-informed discussions with my family members at times.
Very nice.
Even though they may not quite endorse exactly how informed they think I am, but there you go. That's life being an office person rather than someone on the farm.
That's right. And I think our families are often our greatest critics as well. Keep us honest. Can you give us an overview of the current economic environment that farmers are operating in?
The current environment is still financially tight. Sometimes when we present our figures through DairyNZ, we tend to present figures which talk about the average farm or the average dairy farmer. And you can lose a bit of detail behind that average because there's a lot of variation between farms. So I guess that's sort of my opening statement. If I give any figures, people should be aware that there's an awful lot of variation between those figures. But it's tight. Revenue in terms of payout price is at historically relatively high level, but so are costs. And we've been in that situation for the last 3 to 4 years, and revenue stayed pretty good, but costs have stayed stubbornly high. And we've seen some shift in that cost situation, but the margins for farmers to get an operating profit are tight. That's the current situation, even in the context of a historically good payout price.
Thank you. Louise, we're interested in your background. How did you come to be a farmer, and tell us about your farm?
I'm actually from Wellington. I was a born and bred townie. So went to Massey and did a degree in agriculture. Actually came and worked for DairyNZ. It was my first job out of university many, many years ago under a different name. And then I met my husband, Tony. He's a rural banker. And we ended up purchasing our first farm almost 20 years ago. So we're 350 cows on 100 hectares just north of Otorohanga. And this season, 1st of June, we just purchased a second property. So we've got that property in conjunction with a little bit of lease land. So we milk 475 cows there as well. So business has expanded this season, which the way things are going, the economic environment, it's been a tight year.
Thank you. So you've recently purchased a farm, although it's tight. Does that mean that you're feeling generally positive about the future of dairying in the long term?
We're always positive about dairying. As everybody says, people need to eat. So we think that dairy is still the right way to go. It's a fantastic business to be in. And we have two teenage sons. One's quite interested in farming. The other one, not so much. He just liked to own the land and not do the work. But that's teenagers for you, isn't it? But it's part of what we want to be able to help our family with in the future and have something for them. It's not just for us. We see it as a multi-generational business that we're setting up.
So Louise, at the start of the season, we were forecasting drought and a 670 milk price. What's that been like, and have you been able to capture the gains in milk price?
Tony watches fixed milk price quite closely, so we have had a portion of our production for this season fixed in at that. We've been quite lucky. We're actually not too bad down here for drought, so thankfully production is on track. But it was pretty hairy going into the beginning of the season when the payout kept dropping. We had a lot of development work to be done on the farm, which was budgeted for, but it has been particularly tight and a little uncomfortable at times, but that's what we're here for. We tend to try and concentrate not so much on the season, but the long term. You know, our status quo budget is quite important rather than just what's happening today.
Thank you. What are the biggest financial challenges for you currently, Louise?
Managing the new farm has been a bit of a challenge, sort of unknown things cropping up that we weren't quite aware of that we needed to fix, that we needed to get it up to scratch, because this farm's got to be up and running and at full steam pretty quickly because of the economic climate. It's got to pull its weight. We've had a few issues along that side. Probably also for us, is feed is always a big cost. We've got to have that feed in to do the production that we target. So we always set a budget for our feed and we stick to it. We use the 5% of payout rule. So we're keeping our feed costs, including freight, below this level. It's a big cost in our business. So we need to make sure that we fix in our palm kernel price as soon as we can. And we've actually grown with the new farm. We've grown maize for the first time this year. So that's been quite exciting and quite successful as well. So that's been a really big plus. It's quite a big upfront cost, obviously. And to get a really good crop at the end of it, that's helped significantly.
Wages or labour costs are another big cost on many farms. Do you have a team?
Yes, we have a team of 5 full-time staff and our amazing relief milker, Carl Ferreira, who's been with us in our business for almost 10 years now. So we have a good team. We also know that they're an integral part of our business, so we need to pay them well, but also that not all of what they get is just purely wages. We like to concentrate on training our team and providing them with what they need to move forward. And also now that we've got the second farm, we've got the ability to retain people within the business and move them up through the roles a little bit more than we did with just the 350 cow farm. So yeah, wages are a big item, but it's not something that we look at cutting or anything along those lines, because we actually need that team to make our business do as well as it does.
Okay, back to you, Mark. Dairy NZ recently released an update to the Econ Tracker. Can you provide us a brief overview of that tool and what farmers can expect to find on there?
Thanks, Jack. We've had the Econ Tracker up live, so to speak, on our website for coming up to a year now. So we first published it at the field days last year. The intention of that was, with Dairy NZ, as many will know, sort of collect a raft of information. A lot of our database is through Dairybase, so we collect a lot of data annually from farmers throughout the year through Dairybase. And then we also pull in information from other sources as well. And we've tended to publish that through publications such as Dairy Statistics and the Economic Farm Survey, which have been annual publications, and they've often been largely historical data. The concept behind the Econ Tracker was to go a step further and present that historical data in a fairly user-friendly way, using more charts and more sort of interactive charts so people can go in and see what's happened historically, but also to overlay it with some forecasts and some real-time data. It's also intended to be a sort of a one-stop shop portal for a lot of economic data relevant to the dairy sector. So there are 3 tabs. There's one on farm economics, one on sector economics, one on international. A lot of the relevant information for farmers is probably in the farm economics tab. That's where we put the full blowout of the farm financials, both historical and forecast. And that's largely drawing on Dairybase data and our forecasting tool. But then there's a lot of other information which we basically collect in from Stats NZ or from the GDT auctions, etc. And people can find that data in other places. It's not necessarily ours, but we collect and collate it and make it relevant. So that's the Econ Tracker. It's focusing on economic information. We've talked about whether we expand the scope of it, but we're largely keeping it to the farm economics and sector economics at the moment.
Thank you, Mark. Are you able to share some insights about some of the historical trends that have informed the update for the 2022-23 season?
The tracker basically has the historical time series, and then we have a forecast for the current season, being 23-24, and for one season out, 24-25. And we've just, a couple of weeks ago, published our forecast for the next season. Don't want to just focus on what's happening right in the here and now. You kind of want to sort of see where is the sector going. And we know farmers like to sort of not just be talking about the current milk price, but what was happening with it 5 years ago and what was happening with fertiliser prices 5 years ago. And so that's the intent. The main trends have been since 2015, it's gone up and down, but steadily improving revenue in terms of the payout price, but also quite rapidly increasing costs. So that's been the good and the bad, if you like. And then the operating profit margins have, you know, the gap between the costs and the revenue have sort of gone up and down a little bit. We were definitely in a better situation a couple of years ago than we are now in terms of operating profit margins. So that's the overall trend. And then within that, you can look at what's actually happening with some of those major cost lines. So Louise also talked about that in terms of wage costs, which have been sort of steadily increasing and generally don't go down. And then there's interest costs, which of course have really peaked in the last season. That's the tough news. On the other hand, we've sort of seen a spike in fertiliser and feed, which has gone up a couple of years ago and is coming back down to historical levels now. Those are the trends. You know, there's a lot going on behind those different lines. And then the other major trend I would talk about is probably debt. And again, since dairy farmers in particular did a lot to pay down their debt in the last 5 years, which we are probably in the current context can be enormously grateful for, because the situation would be a lot bleaker if we hadn't. And that wasn't necessarily always, you know, there was a degree of pressure on farmers to bring down their debt, but it's putting us in a much better situation now than we otherwise would have been.
And Louise, over and above your own farm accounts, what information do you use to help with your forecasting and budgeting? You've mentioned the Fonterra fixed price. What else do you use?
Our farm personally has been the home farm, has been a dairy baseline farm for many, many years. So we've got a lot of years of our own dairy-based data to look at. Tony, obviously, having been working in the banking industry for 20-odd years, is pretty good at doing budgets and stuff. So that's his forte, is actually putting it down on a piece of paper. One thing that we find really useful, I do all our own GST and bits and pieces through an accounting program. So we've always got our data right here, right in front of us, so we can manipulate that however we need to through the accounting program we use. But we do use the Econ Tracker in terms of it's quite interesting to look at, especially when we set the budget going forward for this season when we purchased a new farm. Obviously, we had to scale things up. Using stuff like the Econ Tracker is really good, because you can go, well, hang on, the average farmer in the Waikato spends this on fertiliser and we're talking about spending this amount, and why is it different, and why is theirs lower than ours or higher than ours? And so it's sort of like a sounding board. You sort of use it as a reference check back to say, hang on, we're spending this, but why is the average different? What's different to us? What's different to them? And why are we spending that? We sort of use the Econ Tracker as a bit of a sounding board, and that helps us sort of set the budgets. But as I say, having Tony or using your bank manager or your accountant or something, that's what they're there for. They're invaluable to help you with those sorts of things if you don't have that skill set sitting on the other desk in the office like I do.
Yes, very lucky.
Yes.
Back to you, Mark. Louise mentioned comparing to the average and sort of questioning why you're above or below the average for certain lines. And you mentioned variability. Can farmers see that sort of variability between farms or just the average?
We've been talking about just how we present that. In our other publication, the Economic Farm Survey, we've had a little bit more options, sort of like put out a few bar graphs, which basically plot the distribution. So, you know, you take average operating profit and you can plot farms around that distribution and you can sort of see how big the variation is. We are looking at bringing some of those graphs onto the tracker and just showing it. So it's It's not a tool which farmers have said to us that we must see immediately, but it's certainly a context thing. So when you're looking at like average operating profit, and if you can sort of put that into by farm type or by, you know, region and see the distribution across the farms, and you then that obviously tells a story. We've done sort of it on a one-off basis, but we haven't as yet started sort of producing regular graphs to show that distribution, but that is kind of next on our list, or at least the things we're looking at.
Thanks, Mark. So we've covered the past and the current seasons. What can you tell us about what's on the card for next season?
It's always a bit trickier when we start to look a season out. We'll invariably get it wrong. My other colleagues here tend to tease me about when I talk about, in typical economic terms, the forecast, that there's three things that can happen with prices. They can sort of go up, down, or stay the same. And economists regularly trout that out. And that is, you know, obviously we don't know. And coming back to Louise's point, the reason is we're cautiously optimistic because even though it's tight, I think there's signs that things are beginning to turn. The key caveat there is clearly the revenue. But we, you know, looking at the announcements from Frontier and what's going on internationally, the fundamentals for dairy seem to remain solid. So we don't foresee any major changes on international demand. And we hope that sort of translates through to solid prices at auction for our commodities. The things that we do expect to see some further softening on are some of those expenses, feed and fertilizer, but possibly by not a lot more than we've seen in this current season. And then we're hoping that we're kind of at maximum pain point on interest rates. So in short, a very similar forecast for next season as for this, where we're ending up, marginally tighter, but also a little bit optimistic that around the corner, things will start to improve.
Louise, can you tell us about what's front of mind for you next season and any tips you have for other farmers that are listening?
Front of mind's probably that it's really easy to get sort of wound up in today and what's happening, and interest rates are high and costs are up and stuff. I think we try and keep a medium-term focus. We focus on the productivity of the farm. It's not just about cutting costs today. We've got to really assess that if you cut something out, what's the long-term impact of that cost? You know, if you go, I'm not going to feed as much feed, or I'm going to cut out a herd test or whatever. You know, for us, the likes of herd testing is really important because that last herd test really helps us with our dry cow decisions. So, you know, if you cut that herd test, you don't have that data. So are you then going to overspend on dry cow? Those sorts of things. So we try to focus for the long term. The farms have got to perform long term, and it's not just about cutting that cost at the moment. So keep looking at your year-on-year budget rather than just, you know, drilling down and getting obsessed with what's happening now if things aren't going so well.
Mark, any closing comments from you?
We're just following up on what Louise said. It's looking ahead and seeing, looking beyond the current season, sort of seeing where the overall trends are going. It's clearly been tight this season and last, and we're forecasting it to continue to be, but the outlook is, as we say, is positive. We've seen that the economy overall was in a tight space, but we've seen the dairy sector previously, and as you know, pull the economy through that. And I think as we look at coming out of the recession and things start to turn, the dairy sector is looking well placed to help lead the New Zealand economy out of that recession again to some more positive times around the corner.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Louise and Mark. Louise, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing how you approach financial decisions when income is hard to predict and costs are rising, and how you make the best possible decision with the information available and the help of a very handy husband who's worked in banking. And Mark, thank you for telling us more about the Econ Tracker. It's a tool that puts the latest economic information at farmers' fingertips. I certainly wish I had something like that when I was share milking. Mā te wā, noho ora mai.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Talking Dairy. Check the show notes on where to go for more information on this topic. And if you have any ideas on future episodes, please send an email to talkingdairy@dairynz.co.nz.